All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of SaberSims DFS Office Hours. Today is Tuesday, December 17th of 2024. And looking ahead here, we have the NBA Cup final match tonight. That's going to be a ton of fun between the Bucks and the Thunder. And then we have a 10-game NHL slate. NHL is taking advantage of only one NBA game on the schedule tonight. So it should be a fun day of DFS. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew, one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions. Get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there's a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and to get access to the rest of the SaberSim teams. Can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and then we do this show on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. So tune in any one of those days. Get your questions answered. But with that said, we had plenty of questions come in the Discord ahead of time here, so we will get started with those. And let me get SaberSim up on the screen, and we will kick off the show with our first question. So, question says, I'm very new to SaberSim and never used any other sim product before. Hey, thanks for checking this out. Is there any rule of thumb for measuring how I'm doing? Like, I'm not sure if results like this in Showdown are a sign that something is very wrong with my process, or if these results are pretty typical in Showdown. Is it a mistake to focus on Showdown instead of Classic as a beginner? Okay, so what came with this question was a screenshot of like a losing night, basically. So we do have a tool for this, right? This is what we call our contest flashback tool. So basically, you can go to any past slate. Say I want to go to yesterday, and I want to go to NBA, and I want to go to the DraftKings main slate, right? I can go back to yesterday, and I can do two things. I can go to the contest tab. We have this big list of contests. I can click on any one of these contests and analyze the results from the contest. I can do this for contests I played. I can also do this for contests I didn't play, right? If I just want to go and see, you know, how players are playing some of the biggest high stakes contests, I can do that too, right? So what that looks like is coming in here, clicking on any one of these. You see the name light up green. Give the builder a minute to load the data. And it looks like it's a little off, but the data is here. You just got to go over to user. Since I didn't play this contest, this mine section is empty. So I just got to jump over to users. And then all of that data is right here, right? So I can close these other panels. And then I can start analyzing this, right? A couple resources for you. Number one is in our help documentation. You go down to tutorials, you click view more. And then in the tutorials folder, how to use contest flashback. Okay, this video, I'll drop it here in the YouTube chat. Very good video for just learning the ins and outs of it. Second video, go to Saber School. Go to SaberSim 101. Check out this Study the Sharks, reviewing past slates with the Saber system. It'll go more in depth about basically what you're looking for, what you're trying to do. So the first one is like, hey, how do I use this? Like, where do I click? You know, what am I trying to do? Second one is, okay, let's go a little bit more in depth. What are we looking at? What are we looking for? How do we, you know, make sense of this? And then your third resource is going to be our build review show. This is a show that I do twice a week. I do this show on Mondays and Fridays at 5 p.m. Eastern, where you can sign up for the build review show, and I will bring your slate, whatever sport you want, up on stream, give you personalized feedback and advice about things that I think you can do differently, things that I think you're doing good and you should continue to do, and help you to basically get the ball rolling. You know, if you don't know where to start, I would recommend signing up for the show because I basically show you how to review your own lineups, and then you could just keep doing it from there, right? So it's like, hey, you know, show me how to do this once, and then I'll continue doing it day after day, week after week, whatever However, you know, you're playing, right? If you're only playing like Sundays on NFL, hey, you do it weekly. You know, if you're playing NBA, I would recommend doing it daily, right? Always kind of want to work that in. So the way to sign up is in the Office Hours channel. Let me know your DK username. Let me know what sport and slate you want me to review. And I will add you to the list for the next show, which is going to be Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern. But those are your three resources. So I would check those out. And then second part of the question, is it a mistake to focus on Showdown instead of Classic as a beginner? I don't think mistake is the right word. I will say that, you know, Showdown strategy is a little bit tougher because of duplication, right? Like, you're not just trying to build, you know, the highest scoring lineup, the winning lineup, which is mostly what you're trying to do in Classic, right? So Showdown just has like additional components added to it because you could win. Yeah, sure. But if you have the same lineup as 1,000 other people, well, then now you win a very small amount of first place of the first place prize, right? In Classic slates, you're typically not concerned about that problem. So it just adds another variable to the equation. It is okay to focus on Showdowns and let that be your bread and butter. So it's not wrong. Just understand that Showdown strategy is a little bit more complex than Classic slate strategy, in my opinion here. So just a consideration. All right. Next question. I have been reviewing my NBA results for the past weeks and comparing my original build lineup pool to the final outcomes. Numerous slates have shown each slate a few peak actual scores in the My Lineups pool used for the original entries that, if left alone, would have finished with a real peak score, much higher actuals than the swapped counterparts. Is there a world where it is just higher EV to enter at lock, only subbing out the red light out players rather than late swapping? Okay, so what I would say here is I'll say two things, right? I'll talk about what I do and I'll give some advice. So I do not swap at every window. And the reason for that is sometimes when not that much changes, I don't think you're gaining a ton of like EV from swapping. I think it's just a little bit more noise than anything. So like, you know, if there were two games and they started 30 minutes apart, right? I would probably not swap in between unless there was news that came out that like warranted a swap, right? But if nothing's really changed, you know, no significant projection changes, starters are as expected. The first game has barely even started and there's not enough time in between the game times to account for actual projections, then I would leave it, right? So I just want to be clear, like I'm not even like swapping at every window. Now, when there are big changes, I do swap, right? I want to take advantage of the latest and greatest projection changes. If a player moves, you know, from 42 to 39 points, that could be a big deal when it comes to the player's value and fitting that player into lineups. And maybe the builder wants to go like a different direction, right? So for significant projection changes where players are moving by multiple points, I will generally always late swap for those if I'm available there. So that's what I'm doing. That's how I'm handling it. Now, the other thing that I'm doing is, you know, even if there are not significant projection changes, but a game has a lot of time to play out, I think yesterday was like a good example. If we go back to yesterday's NBA main slate. So there were four games all within a 30-minute window right at lock. And then there's this big 2.5-hour gap before the two night games start. And there's 30 minutes between those, but I'm mostly concerned about this window between 4:30 p.m. Pacific time and 7 p.m. Pacific time, right? Basically because all of these games are over before these games even start. So this is like where even if there were no changes, which there were, right? Like Murray got ruled out. There were some Sims running and stuff. I would definitely be swapping in that window because, you know, Jimmy Butler projected for 37 points, goes and scores 88. Like That is insane. He scored 50 more points than he was projected, right? An absolutely like insane game for him. You know, your lineups with Butler are so much better. And then the lineups without him are in terrible shape, right? Like you just you want to account for that, right? I mean, this is massive, massive difference. And I think it's super important to account for those things. So, you know, ultimately, this is my advice for you. You know, you can do what you want, right? You can try this. You know, you can try this approach. Like, hey, I'm just going to leave them and I'm just going to see what happens. It doesn't feel like the most like Simbro like type approach. You know, typically like Simbros are like, hey, I want to rely on the data. I want to have like accurate, I want to use like the most accurate information I have. And, you know, the latest Sims would do that. But I mean, if it's something you want to try, you know, maybe you do it for like a week trial, you know, maybe you do it for like a 2 week trial, you know, take it day by day, see how it's going. Right. I can't tell you, you know, how to spend your money and what you should or shouldn't do, but I can give you my suggestions. You know, that's why I like to talk about, hey, this is what I do. Right. And, you know, I've had a lot of success in NBA DFS. So I hope that helps you in some way, shape, or form just to figure out what the best decision is for you. All right. Good stuff. Good stuff. Keeping it rolling. Next question. I'm just starting to get back into DFS seriously and loving the tool so far, but I'm struggling a bit with proper contest selection. For example, tonight is a big NHL slate. The main slate has over 7K lineups in the hip check, and the mini slates and showdowns are down around 1K. Should I be adjusting my entries based on the number of potential players to fill being smaller and the smaller prize pool? It would obviously be more challenging to recoup entry fee and profit given these factors if I maxed it. Okay, so this one's another like interesting one, right? It's going to depend on how big your bankroll is, I think, right? So first I'll tell you guys what I do, right? And this is not like I don't have data to back this up. So typically what I'll do, cuz I've heard this talked about like in the industry, and you can like look at the math and like it makes a little bit of sense, right? So let's say there's like a 7,000 people in a contest, right? Well, we know that DFS payout structures are super top heavy. A lot of the biggest payouts are like in the top 5 positions, right? So if you need to get first out of 7,000, I did that backwards. Let's clear this. No, did I do that backwards? Okay. This is to like the fourth decimal. So this is really like 4 decimal places over. So this 1.42 is actually like 0.00142. So it gets a little confusing here. I think Excel will like actually do it the right way or the way that makes a little bit more sense. Yeah. So it looks like this, right? So when they put that, the -4 here, that means like they're moving the decimal place over. So we'll just do this in Excel and we'll blow this up. And let's open this. All right. So to get first place in this contest, this is how high you have to finish, right? So we're talking about, if you round this to, it's like 99.99, I think, and you know, some additional numbers here, and you can just like do this, right? And you just do like 1 minus this, or equals 1 minus A1. So this is like the percentile that you're trying to hit, right? So first place is a 99.98% outcome. I'm like almost positive that's how this works, right? So very, very hard to do, right? Well, take this number and then let's do something similar. And then it's like, okay, that was 1 divided by 7,000, where we know that pays a lot. But like 10th place does not pay nearly as much as first. So then what is, 10th place in this same equation? It's 28. Make all these 28. And 26 is fine. And then we do equal 1 minus this. Okay. So notice how kind of similar these are, right? So it's like 99.985 and then 99.857, right? There's obviously some difference here, right? But we're still talking about, multiple decimal places over, very small differences. But the payouts here are going to be significantly different, right? I don't know what the payout structure is. We might be able to just like go check. NHL, Main Slate, contests. First place is $600 and then 10th place is $60, right? So 10x difference between like first and 10th there. But we could see like, hey, I don't know. To me, it doesn't feel that much different to like get like first versus like 10th, like mathematically here, right? They're still like very, very small percentage outcomes and they're not that much different. So to me, something I'll do is getting back to the original question, right? Something I'll do when I enter lineups is I will just enter up to whatever 10th place pays. Now, it's not like perfect science, but so for instance, this contest has, say it was 150 max instead of a 20 max and it's $1, I would enter 60 entries. I wouldn't put in 150. Now, that doesn't mean that maxing it isn't a good decision. It could be if you had, plenty of bankroll to spare. And the reason that's true, right, is because we see the sharpest players in the lobby maxing out the biggest contests, right? 4K millies. If you go and look, players are maxing that out, right? The 555 millies. Like, hey, players are entering 150 lineups. So, if maxing out a tournament wasn't profitable, even if the field's smaller, I'm like almost positive those players would not be doing it. So maxing it out could still be profitable for sure. It just depends, how much bankroll allocation you have and how much you want to spread it out. Right. And so, that's something I'll do. I mean, it allows me to get access to more contests typically too, since all of my entry fees aren't tied up in one singular contest. So that's another thing I'll do, but that's the way I think about it. It's still okay to max. So you got to kind of figure out where your bankroll is, what contests are available. You can look at other sites too, look at other slates like you talked about. So got to try and find a balance. I've been losing, but I'm realizing part of DFS is studying and knowing what players you want on your team. Like last night, Amir Abdullah went off against the Falcons defense and I didn't have them on my team. So research and knowing what you want on teams is key. But besides that, how does late swap work? I put a late swap last night in the NBA slate and it said it updated, but does the late swap automatically go to DK or do I have to upload it? And are they swapping players before game start? Or if a player is playing in a later game, can they be swapped out? Also, Asar Thompson and Beasley weren't in any of my sims. Would have loved for them to be on my lineups last night, but Sim gave me Fontecchio Detroit and he was trash. But overall, how does late swap work? Okay, so a couple things here, right? Number one, if you ended up on Fontecchio last night, my assumption is that you built your lineups a little bit earlier because Thompson was a late addition to the starting lineup, right? So one of the best places to check for this information is going to be in our Discord, right? So what I would do is, if you're not in the Discord, join it. There's a link to join in the description of this video here. And then in the Discord, I'll just pull this up. So we have these lineup alert channels, right? Go to the NBA lineup alert channel. Check it every once in a while, right? If we go back to yesterday, we scroll up a little while. LaVine. What time is this? Trying to see if I can find it. Porter. Milton. Okay, like right here. See, this sim ran like 18 minutes prior to the game starting here. Thompson goes from 15 to 21. Fontecchio goes from 17 down to 12. I'm like positive you are not going to get any Fontecchio if he was at 12 points projection. Because he's just like not grading out well enough from like a value perspective at this level, right? And then Thompson was lower salary. 15 points not doing a ton for him. But when he gets up to 21, then, you know, he becomes a lot higher value. So make sure that one of the best things that you could do, in my opinion, is run your final set of lineups when the teams have check marks, right? So when the slate starts, all the teams are not going to have check marks because starting lineups are coming out, you know, 15 minutes prior to lock, something like that. But at every window, you can at least check like, hey, you know, are the check marks in? Okay. You jump over to like the lineup alert channel. Were there any like new sims that ran? And you know, you can just click like the refresh projection icon too. That's another way of doing it. You can hover, see when the timestamps show up. So it seems like a sim was like probably missed there. So I would just make sure you're refreshing and then running your final set when at least the games that start at the lock time have the check marks, refresh, and then build your final set of lineups at least before late swap, right? So that's the first thing there. Second thing, you know, Abdullah was like very, very low owned, at least in the contest that I saw, like I think in the FanDuel flagship, he had like sub 5% ownership because he was like third option on the team. I know Madison at least got hurt once when he fumbled. So maybe Madison ended up coming out or playing less after the fumble. And that gave Abdullah like additional opportunities. You know, it just wasn't really like in a good spot to do well considering everything. And then got like a kind of a late garbage time touchdown. So those things happen. All right, let's talk about late swap. So how does late swap work? So first thing we do, right? So let's say you build your lineups, you wait for the check marks, and then you're getting ready for your late swap, right? So what is late swap doing? So first thing that's happening, or first thing I would do, when the slate lock time passes, click the refresh projection icon, okay? What this does is it tells SaberSim to update the time. Now, once SaberSim knows the slate has locked, you're going to get like a big green lead swap button where you would open up a new build, right? The other thing that's going to happen is that the players whose games have started are going to get grayed out, which means they cannot be altered. So what SaberSim's effectively doing is locking those players into your lineup and saying, hey, we're not going to allow for these players to be moved in or out of lineups because they're locked and they cannot be adjusted. What happens after that? When you click build, we go into the sims the same way we do pre-slate. We go and grab sims. We play them out. We see how the players do. Then for each lineup, we go, okay, this lineup has this many positions left and this much salary. Based on the sim outcomes that we just pulled, build the best possible lineup from those player outcomes. That also means that the lineup could change, right? New players could have done better. And the lineups will update. And we're building multiple versions of every original lineup. So we have one original. We might build 10 versions of that lineup and say, hey, you know, we played this out a bunch of times and we came up with 10 good options that we think are all viable based on the sim outcomes. So that's how late swap's working there. I'm just reading through this, making sure I didn't miss anything. Okay, so the next part is, does late swap automatically go to DK or do I have to upload it? So you do have to upload it. So once you're done adjusting your late swap, ready to do it, you still have to click save, right? You're going to want to save those lineups and then you're going to download them from the upper left download icon when it turns green. So first step, build your late swap. Second step, save your late swap and then green button over here on the right hand side. And then third step, download the entry file and upload it. So we are not automatically like integrated with the sites. That's why you have to save the CSV, download the CSV, and then upload it. So that's what's going on there. All right. Joshua said, does late swap potentially create duplicate lineups if you have the same players that started in the early games? So this is going to depend on your min unique number. So first off, it's not building the same lineup over and over again. So we only allow for a lineup to be put into your pool one time, unless you have a specific toggle on to allow duplicates, but that's like for custom ownership builds and stuff like that. So as far as like building lineups, we only let a lineup go into the pool once. However, in late swap, you have the ability to set min uniques to zero, which will allow for SaberSim to put the same lineup into your contest more than once. So if min uniques is on one or higher, the lineup will only be used once within a contest. If min uniques is on zero, then that allows SaberSim to put the same lineup multiple times into a single contest. All right. So far, so good. Taking a peek in office hours. And looks like we're caught up there. Just hit Joshua's question here in the YouTube chat. So think we're all caught up here. Awesome. So appreciate you guys tuning in. I will be back tomorrow, 4 p.m. Eastern, for our next show. Good luck in the slates tonight. And I will talk to you all then. So until then, good luck. Take care. Thanks. Bye.